John the Baptizer was in prison when the news reached him about what Jesus, the Messiah, was doing. He was perplexed. It wasn't really what he was expecting. It wasn't bad, but it didn't tick all the boxes that he was expecting to see ticked. So when some of his followers visited him, he sent them off to Jesus with a question. Are you the one everyone has been waiting for? The long-awaited Messiah? Or are we still waiting for someone else? 2,000 years later, John's question is still being asked. Often. It is being asked not only of Jesus, but of churches and preachers, of writers and thinkers and ordinary disciples. Is this the real thing? A life and faith that are true to God? Or has something gone astray here? This seems kind of different to the faith we've been taught, the faith we've been hearing all our lives. What's going on? The faith as it used to be preached had a lot more John the Baptist about it. There was a lot more fire and brimstone, a lot more clear judgment of moral rights and wrongs, a lot more clear-cut teaching that had to be believed or else. The pathway to God was spelled out clearly in the book. No room for argument. Believe this, behave like that, and don't do that. Get it wrong, and it was the winnowing fork and the axe at the root of the tree and the lake of fire for eternity. So when a church or preacher tells it differently, the same question arises again. This doesn't seem like the message of the one we were expecting. What's going on here? How are we to know whether your message is legitimate or is a dangerous and treacherous departure from the script? If people once regarded as unmentionable sinners are now being welcomed in and treated as equals, can it be the true faith? If people who can't even pretend to believe in Noah's Ark or the virgin birth are allowed to come to the table alongside those who believe without question that every word is history, are we really talking about the same thing? A legitimate expression of the faith passed down from the apostles? Maybe the reason we're still asking the same question that John's followers asked is that Jesus didn't quite answer it back then. Not in a clear-cut way, anyway. He didn't say yes or no or spell out an explanation, a defense. Instead, Jesus answered, "Go and tell John what you've witnessed. The blind are given their sight. The paralyzed are up and walking. People with hideous diseases are cured. The deaf can hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are hearing news worth celebrating. How good it will be for those who realize what I'm up to and don't get their noses out of joint over it." Or in other words, tell John what you've seen and let him make up his own mind. And I wonder whether there's any reason to expect or indeed to give any different an answer to than that. What's happening here? Let it speak for itself. Are these things you see happening things you would expect to see if God was at work, or are they not? You decide. Actually, it's not entirely true to say that Jesus gave no clearer an answer than that. He didn't give a yes or a no. But he also didn't only point out what was happening. He pointed to what was happening and to a vision given in the scriptures, a vision of what was supposed to happen, a messianic vision. And it was a vision we heard tonight in our reading from the prophet Isaiah. So Jesus was inviting them to interpret the biblical vision and see a correlation between that and what they were seeing with their own eyes, which, to be fair, is probably what John the Baptizer was already trying to do. He too was remembering biblical visions, visions of fires and axes and winnowing forks, and thinking that Jesus didn't seem to be ticking those boxes. But Jesus is pointing to different biblical visions. And if we are going to be followers of Jesus, then paying attention to which images from Scripture Jesus chooses to align himself with or model himself on is going to be pretty important. If we don't pay attention to how Jesus reads and interprets Scripture, then we may just end up with John missing what is actually going on because we were busy looking for something different. So knowing that we too are going to be asked those same questions, those John questions about what's going on here and whether we haven't badly misconstrued the faith, let's prepare ourselves to bear witness to the way of Jesus by listening again to the vision we heard from the prophet Isaiah and playing with it in the same way that Jesus plays with it, joining the dots from then to now and finding ourselves invited to interpret the connections. So, says Jesus, tell these skeptical questioners, tell John what you've seen happening. Tell him it was like the words of the prophet Isaiah. Tell him it was like seeing the parched and dusty land beginning to celebrate as it welcomed the rain. Tell him you saw the flowers of peace breaking through the rock-hard ground that had been burned black by the fires of war and hatred. Tell him you saw tired and thirsty people breaking into smiles, like the thirsty desert suddenly festive with flowers, blazing colours, orchid and desert pea, singing songs of joy as new life bursts forth for them. Tell John there was no sign of the scorched earth judgment he used to talk about. Instead, there was music and song and colour and light, everything bursting with life and exuberance. It was like the desert was erupting with life as rich as the Barrier Reef, as majestic as Kakadu, as lush as the Daintree. Tell John it was like the glory of the Lord was on display, the splendor and magnificence of our God. Tell John that you saw people being changed as their fears dissolved and blew away. And you saw people whose hands had been trembling break into smiles and become strong and confident and relaxed. You saw people whose knees were knocking get to their feet and stand firm and assured. You saw those who had always been fearing the worst because all their lives they'd been told they were a mistake, an abomination, a danger to goodness and truth and values. You saw them coming back to life as they tasted God's extravagant love and experienced perfect love casting out all fear and their courage flooding back, confident that God is with them, that God loves them, that God really, really likes them just as they are. And you can tell John that I left out that line about God coming with vengeance and with terrifying payback. I don't know where Isaiah got that idea from, but hey, nobody gets everything right, do they? Tell John all about what you saw happening to people. Tell him that eyes long blinded by fear and shame and humiliation are opening to color and light. Tell him that ears long deaf, unable to hear anything but judgment and condemnation, are now hearing music and laughter and songs of love. Tell him that people crippled by hatred and hostility, who trudged painfully under heavy loads of anxiety, are breaking free and dancing like brolgas. People long silenced by deathly voices of authority that told them that they were wrong and that they knew nothing are now singing like lyrebirds. Tell John about that. Tell John that you saw everything transforming before your eyes. You saw the old dusty deserts of judgment soaking up reviving rains of grace and begin to flow with rivers of love. You saw the hard-baked salt pans of condemnation become inland lakes of mercy and acceptance, as cool water came gushing up between scorching rocks. You saw water birds flocking where only dingoes had scavenged, and luscious soft fruits growing where only the toughest mulga scrub had eked out a stingy existence. Tell John that instead of a hidden narrow path that only a special few can ever find, you saw a new highway, well lit and with entry ramps from every direction, a highway leading straight to God, a highway on which no one, not even a complete moron, could ever lose their way. Tell John that there are no hidden dangers along that road, no snakes lying in wait at the side, and no nasty law enforcement officers trying to catch you out and cancel your license for breaking some obscure law or secret rule. Nothing threatening is found on that road, and everyone is invited by God to leave behind the potholed roads of Struggle Street and travel in safety on God's new highway. Tell John that you saw it all coming true, that you could see that the Lord had bailed out all who had been exiled and homeless and locked up, and that they were coming home, singing and dancing and celebrating as they headed for the great party on God's festive mountain. Tell John you could see that the smiles will never leave their faces again. Laughter and contentment will be theirs to keep, and misery and despair and fear will be made redundant. Yeah, I know it's not what John was expecting, but tell him it's so much better, so much more exciting and liberating and life-giving. It's not what a lot of the religious people were expecting. Too many of them thought it was all about them. They thought that God only wanted a special few, them, and that God would gladly fry the rest. A lot of them even seemed to be looking forward to watching that, not sure which part of love your neighbor they didn't understand. Too many of them seemed to think that God's love was a scarce commodity that was measured out in miserly handfuls to only those who could somehow keep their beliefs and their behaviors within tightly confined limits and dourly avoid risks and mistakes so as to keep from getting any black marks against their names, as if God bothered actually keeping score of black marks. Those religious types will likely get their noses well and truly out of joint over what I'm doing now and what you are seeing happening here. But I think John will probably understand. It wasn't what he expected, but he does have a good record when it comes to recognizing when things are wrong, seeing that God's doing something new and doing the necessary about face. About faces are kind of John's signature tune. I'm not sure about some of those others, though. They're forever getting shocked and scandalized and hostile whenever the grace of God breaks through the fences they've erected and the walls they've built, or whenever God doesn't single them out for special favoritism. Never mind, I'll keep inviting them. Maybe one day they'll come and join us instead of crucifying me for inviting the people they'd blacklisted. Go tell John what you've seen. Isaiah's vision bursting to life with love and joy and freedom. And how good it will be for those who realize what I'm up to and don't get their noses out of joint over it.